Man, what a blessing to get old. You know what? Everywhere we go now, Kathy and I, we're seniors. We get a discount. I mean, we get discounts everywhere we go now. Hallelujah. It pays to get old. It really does. What a blessing. And when you flub things, you got a great excuse. So it helps to be old. God's a good God, right? All the time, all the time. Did I tell you to turn to 1 Corinthians 3? See, I forgot already. So. 1 Corinthians 3. I was reading this early in the week. I don't know, somewhere in Tennessee. And I don't know, the Lord started to work on my heart, and I could not get rid of this chapter. I'm in a strait betwixt two, as Paul said. Now, his desire was to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better, but he realized he had a job to do. He had to stay here, deal with the issues and writing the rest of the New Testament. I'm in a strait with two things, too. We just came back from a Bible conference, seeing the Bible being printed. I'd like to preach on the Bible. We went to the Ark Creation Museum. I'd like to preach on Noah's Ark. Yesterday I went over to Genesis 6 and 7 and 8, and, Lord, you want me to do this? He says, nope, just do what you had planned. Said, okay. It's nothing to do with our trip, but all right. I'll do what he tells me to do. Amen. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 3. If you're able to stand, please stand as I read from the Word of God. This is just in honor of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and start in verse 1. I'll do the reading. You do the silent following. All right? And I'm just going to read. I'm probably going to read the entire chapter. It's not that big because I'm preaching the entire chapter. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Father, bless the message. I pray that you'd use it for your honor and for your glory. Father, get me out of the way, and so only the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit can come forth today. I'm just a man. Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Lord, I'm just a sheep along with all the other sheep in this room. So, Lord, I pray that the message would come from you and not from a man. Lord, we love you today, and we're so grateful and thankful that you died on the cross for our sins. We're so grateful and thankful, Lord, that after 3 days and three nights, you came back from the dead. You are alive and well. You're seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You're our mediator. You're our intercessor. You are our advocate. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you give us every single day of our lives. This morning when we got up, your mercies were already new and your faithfulness was great. Every day, your word says, you loadeth us with your benefits and blessings. Thank you, Lord. We just want to lift your name and praise you today for all the good things you do for us every single day of our life. There's not a day that goes by in our life, Lord, that you're not blessing us and giving us the things that we need in our life spiritually. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the word of God. What a blessing to have a copy of your word today. What a blessing, Lord, to be able to trust in this book. Lord, thank you for the men and the women that died giving us this Bible over the years. So many gave their lives for the production of the Word of God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, bless us now and be with us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message today is simply Problems Within the Church. Problems Within the Church. You know, when you read through, and we read 1 Corinthians 15 this morning, and if you're reading our Bible, your Bible along with us this morning, we read 1 Corinthians 15. Paul was trying to straighten out a church that had a lot of problems. And boy, did they have problems. I mean, from chapter 1 to chapter 16, I mean, he's covering everything that he can cover. The second letter he wrote to the Corinthians is not as firm as the first one as far as trying to straighten out a church. This church had problems. They lacked a lot of faith. They lacked godly wisdom. They were worldly and they were carnal. They lacked the power of God. There was sin in the church, gross, immoral sin, we find in chapter 5. They were taking one another to law. They were suing one another within the church in chapter 6. I'm going to be bringing a message on that soon. Did you know that Paul, and I don't want to get into it right now, but Paul says that we are saints according to the Word of God. I hope you believe that. We're saints. We saints are going to be judging angels in the future. We're actually going to judge angels. That's going to be one of our functions in the millennial reign of Christ, or maybe at the beginning of the millennial reign. Somewhere in there, I'm not exactly sure when it is. But Paul says, hey, you're going to judge angels. Why can't you judge the affairs of men within the church, he says in chapter 6. That's another message. There was fornication in the church in chapter 7. There was a struggle with idol worship in chapter 8. They lacked doctrinal knowledge. They did this that we all do at times. They murmured and complained. In chapter 10, they had other issues such as hair length, coverings, women and coverings, men and women roles in the church. Men and women had no idea what they're doing in the church. Paul had to cover that. Chapter 11, they had communion problems and issues within the church. Paul had to deal with that in chapter 11. Paul taught on the spiritual gifts because they were having a hard time trying to figure out what their gifts were. He deals with that in chapter 12. They lacked real true charity. And so he had to deal with that in chapter 13. Chapter 13 is all about the charity. Charity is simply love in action. And this church was lacking that. He had to deal with that. They had an improper use of tongues in chapter 14. Chapter 14 is not a chapter that lifts up tongues. Chapter 14 is a chapter that puts tongues down and in their place. They have a right perspective, but the church of Corinth was all messed up when it came to speaking in tongues. And he covers that in chapter 14. There were people within the church that didn't believe in the resurrection in chapter 15. There were people that actually in the church saying Christ did not rise from the dead. They didn't believe in a resurrection. Can you imagine that? This is all in the church. In the chapter 16, they had offering issues. He had to deal with the offering in chapter 16. He saved the money issues for last, I think, trying to be as nice as he could. But this church had some problems. This church had a lot of issues. I'm going to give you a few of them here in chapter 3. We're just going to stay in chapter 3 primarily with the message. We're going to branch off and look at other verses, of course, that deal with some of these issues. But Chapter 3, I'm going to give you several things here. I want you to write these down if you would. Number one, write this down. Milk fed. Milk fed. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul talks about how he could not give them the meat of the Word of God. The only thing that he could do is give them milk. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, I'll just read it for the sake of time, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. We all know that a baby starts off with what? Just drinking milk. The mother's milk or the other milk that they have today. I mean, that's how you start off with a baby. You're not going to shove a steak in front of the baby. You're not going to put a baked potato in front of the baby. You're going to start off with milk. Where Paulie's gone, right? Wasn't he the other day he wanted steak, or was it Nathaniel?
No, he got steak.
He got steak. We went to a steakhouse the other night, and he wanted steak. And he's almost three. And he knows his steak. He likes his steak. Matter of fact, we all got steak the other night. But you're not going to feed a baby steak that they don't have any teeth to chew with. Right? I mean, but you start off a baby with milk. Sarah back there is feeding little Watson with a bottle. And that's all. They're not going to take him home later, and they're not going to send him through a Chinese buffet and give him, you know, General Tso's chicken and all that other stuff. They're not going to do, you can't do that with a baby, right? You and I, we like that kind of stuff. You know, spice it up, make it hot. Some of us like it like that. Some of you, I don't like it hot. Well, but you're not going to be able to feed a baby anything other than milk. You know why? Because they're immature. They're babies. What do babies do? You know what babies do. They cry and they fuss when they're hungry. They cry and they fuss when they need their diaper change. And they're just a bunch of babies. And they're cute little things. But this church was so carnal. The church of Corinth was so carnal, Paul says, I can't feed you anything other than milk. Just some basic things from the Word of God. But there are Christians today that are not growing up. There are Christians today that are not growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And all you can give them is a little bit of milk once in a while. They can't take sound doctrine. They can't take hard Bible preaching. I've actually had people come and tell me, I don't like so-and-so because that evangelist, he preached too loud and too hard. Well, you wouldn't do well with John the Baptist or Peter or Paul or Jesus himself. If you can't take some of the evangelists that we've had here, I don't know. But that's the problem that we have in our churches today. They don't want their toes stepped on. Don't cover my sin. We have that today in our church. That's the problem they had in the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth, I think, is very much like today's church where they would just rather be entertained. And we have churches today that they just want entertainment. The problem is too many people sit in front of a television set most of the day or most of the night and they're entertained. TV is only for basically entertainment. And so we have the mentality today, well, let's have some entertainment in our church. We have people that literally today will say, man, church is boring. We got to come to a boring church and listen to the boring pastor and sing those boring hymns and listen to a boring Bible. We have people today, that's their view of the church, that it's boring. That's because they're so ingrained and engrossed in entertainment, they can't deal with anything other than their entertainment. And so we have churches today coddling Christians by bringing in the bands and bringing in the you know, big name preachers and all this other stuff and changing their Bible and changing their music and changing their lights and changing just to entertain the people, because there's so many Christians today, that's what they want. They just want to be entertained. God forbid. God help us. Oh my goodness. When I read the church of Corinth, and I look at today's church, I'm not saying our church. I'm not saying some of the good Bible-believing churches, but when I look, there's almost a comparison here between that church and a lot of the churches of today. A lot of Christians today, they become offended very easy over something that's read in the Bible or something that's preached. They don't want to hear today that homosexuality is a gross, immoral sin. They don't want to hear that. Well, don't cover that. But it is. It's an abomination to God. It's wrong and it's immoral. By the way, there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. Ken Ham got up the other day at the Ark, and boy, I tell you, he brought a message that nailed all of that stuff. It was a good message. I enjoyed hearing that. And he said that. There's no such thing as gay marriage. Two men cannot marry. Two women cannot marry. Call it something else, but only God instituted marriage between one man and one woman. That's it. You can't marry your dog. You can't marry a cow or a cat. You can't marry another man or another woman if you're a man or a woman. You know what I'm saying? But we don't have preachers that want to get up and say that today because we might offend somebody in our congregation. We have Christians today that become very offended easy. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that happens. No time in the Word of God. Reading a watered-down version of the Bible. No time in prayer and very, very little time in church. We still need to feed them the gospel bottle and burp them and coddle them like a baby. That's what we see today in our churches. Thank God, not in this church. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Now, we are different. We just are different. And I will say this, we're not for everybody. If we've had every visitor that's ever come through these doors, we couldn't put them all in here. We'd have to have a huge tent or a huge building somewhere. We'd be running well over 1,000 people every time. If everybody kept coming and ever walked through the doors, we're not for everybody. And I tell people that. I'm honest with people. When people call up and want information on the church, I say, look, you need to go to church more than one time. People think they can go from one to go several weeks. Listen to the preacher. He may be, hey, this might be my off day. You know what I mean? Not to the point where I'm out doing something else, but I just, you know, we preachers have off days to the point where we're not right on cue with the Holy Spirit at times. Because we're just human beings. Or maybe the message was not designed for what you thought or whatever. But go back a few times and get the flavor of the church. Meet some people. Don't run in and run out without shaking a hand with somebody. Amen. So many today, they don't want to get involved. They don't want to talk. They don't listen. Spend some time talking with the people. Get to know who they are. Learn a name today. If you don't know anybody, learn a name. If you don't know anybody's name, you know how you do that? Hi, I'm Pastor Fenton. What's your name?
I don't know.
It's good. Right. Could you tell me his name, please? Kirk. But learn a name. Kirk, learn your own name, please. But walk up to somebody. Take the initiative and put your hand out. I'm afraid to touch anybody because I might get sick. I don't have any hand sanitizer. I usually carry some on me, but I don't have any. No, don't worry about that kind of nonsense. There's hand sanitizer in the hallway. Douse yourself, whatever you want to do. But talk to somebody. Don't just run in and run out without talking. That church is not very friendly. Nobody would talk. Well, you wouldn't talk to anybody. You zoomed in and zoomed out. Exit stage left. You were gone. Quicker than anybody could even say hello to you, right? I mean, there are people like that. But take the time to learn somebody's name. You shouldn't want to be fed a gospel bottle all your Christian life. 2nd, did we read that yet? All right. It's my age, you know. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and what? Knowledge. Grow up. Christians need to grow up. Everything bothers me. Grow up. Get mature in the Word of God, in the things of God. Look at Ephesians 4:15. I would hope and pray that our church could never be compared to the Corinth church. First Baptist Church of Corinth. I hope and pray that we're not lumped into the same category as they were. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may what? Say the two words. Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith, what? Groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Boy, we need Christians today that are growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Growing, growing, growing. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a, say it, babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Don't be a baby Christian. Grow up. Grow up. Mature in the things of the Lord. I will say this. You know, most people would like to be coddled a little bit once in a while, right? Us men, us ladies, like to be coddled. But when it comes to Christian things, when it comes to biblical things, let's grow up. Amen. How do you grow up? You spend time in God's Word. You spend time in prayer. You spend time in church. You spend time doing the things that God wants you to do. All right, let's go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're moving right along here. Number, did you write down milk fed? Yeah. All right, number 2. Write this down. Men followers. Men followers. Do you know we have the same problem today in our churches? In our Bible-believing churches, we have men followers. It says here in this verse, for while one saith, verse 4, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not what? Carnal. Carnal. You're worldly. You're carnal. You're fleshly. When you say, well, I follow so-and-so, or this guy's my hero, or this preacher, I like him better than anybody else. We have this mentality even in our Bible-believing churches today. I know pastors personally today that will not have a missionary in unless he has graduated from the same school that he's graduated from. He has literally shut the door on everybody else that's out there, good missionaries. Nope, you're not from the school that I graduated from, you're not coming. He might take the phone call, but once he finds out what college they're from or where they graduated or where they went to school, he'll just nicely say, nope, thanks. I know pastors that'll do that today. To me, that's completely wrong. We have a diverse group of missionaries in our church. We're not like that here in this church. I've had missionaries call me and ask me that. No, we're an independent Baptist church. I have some criteria when I talk to a missionary. Are you King James only? Are you local church? Do you believe in starting and planting churches wherever it is that you're going to go? I mean, there's some criteria that I will grill them on, but it's simply to find out, are they lining up with what we believe? I don't ask, what college did you go to? Who's your favorite preacher out there? I don't ever ask those kinds of questions. That to me is ridiculous and it's foolish and it's immature as a Christian. But I know guys today that if you're not from Pensacola Bible Institute in Pensacola, Florida, you ain't coming, sorry. I know pastors that will only fellowship with other pastors and people that are from one particular college. They will not branch out and fellowship with anybody else. To me, that's I'm trying to think of a nice word. I can't think of a nice word. Sorry. There's guys that, you know, there's the Ruckman crowd. Only follow Ruckman and PBI and Pensacola, and that's it. And then there's guys that only follow Jack Hiles and Hiles Anderson College. You had to come from his college or you're not coming in. And back several years ago, there were guys that would only fellowship with BBF guys. Rich, you remember that. We know some guys that that's all they would fellowship with. It's just, you had to be Baptist Bible Fellowship guys and that's it. Missionaries had to be BBF missionaries, BBFI missionaries. And if you weren't, sorry, you're not coming to this church. To me, that's foolish. It's foolish. And again, I'm glad that we're not like that. The Church of Corinth was just like that. Well, I follow Paul. Oh, yeah? Well, I follow Apollos. And there were some guys that said, well, I follow Cephas, who's Peter. And they had their little men followers. They followed. And they were the little groupies that would follow these guys. And they just only liked them. And you know what it did in that Church of Corinth? It caused division. It caused problems. It caused issues. Hey, I don't care what college you graduate from. When you come here, you're gonna do what we do as a church together. And just because you came from one college and I didn't go off to college, or I don't follow this guy or that guy or this college or that, so what? We don't need to argue and fight over it. We don't need to discuss it. Don't come into this church and cause division because of some college you came from. I don't care what college. I don't care if you went to college anywhere. Amen. We have a craziness today in a lot of our churches. We want to send people off to one college, and that's the only right college, and there's no other good colleges in this. That's ridiculous. There are good Christian colleges in America that young people can go and get a good education and find the will of God for their life. It doesn't matter really to me what college you've gone to. Don't come to a church and cause division over it. You know who we really need to follow? You know who we need to follow? Christ, Jesus Christ. If you're going to follow anybody, follow Him. Don't even follow me. Follow the Lord. Now, as I follow the Lord, hopefully we'll be in step together. Amen. But follow Jesus Christ. He's the one that you need to follow. Church of Corinth, there were guys lining up behind Paul. There were guys lining up behind Apollos. Paul says, who then is Paul? He said this, who's Paul? And who is Apollos? Verse 5, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Let's do this together. I will plant some gospel seed and you come along and you water that gospel seed. Or maybe you'll do the planting and I'll come along and do a little watering. But this is a joint effort. This is something that we can do together. We don't have to be, we got the Ruckmanites on this side. We got the Hilesites over here in this section. I don't know who you belong to, you know. And you won't talk to these people and these people won't talk to these. We have churches like that today. We have pastors like this. Pastors are in their little cliques or in their little groups. Rich knows them. I know them. And it's sad that we have things like that going on. All right, so number two is men followers. Paul has to deal with that. Number three, look at the next one. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. I'm chuckling at something I saw just a minute ago. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We're in this together. Folks, we're laboring together with who? God. God's the person that we're laboring with. I'm doing this for the Lord's sake. You ought to be doing this for the Lord's sake. This is who you ought to be following. You ought to be following God. You ought to be following the Lord. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Write this down. I wrote this down for the third thing. The mission field. There's a mission field out there. The world is a big field and needs missionaries. The world needs evangelists. The world needs pastors. The world needs preachers. The world is getting darker and darker. And unless we spread the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to get darker and darker to the point where it's getting harder and harder to win people. There is so much to do and so little time to do it. Do you believe the Lord's coming back soon? Do you really believe the Lord's coming back soon? I think most of us would say, yeah, the Lord's coming. Lost people believe something's going on. Lost people believe that the end is coming. The end of the world is coming. We hear people say that. And it is eventually. The world as we know it. I do have to say that what a blessing our missions month was. What a blessing our missions month was. The challenge given by the various missionaries was a blessing. The challenge was great, and now it's up to us to fulfill that challenge. The mission field for the church and the Christian is starts in our neighborhood. Starts with your neighbors. And it expands and extends out beyond your neighborhood to the village, to the city, to the town, through the state, through the country, through the world. That's our mission field. To be part of this missions program in this church, to me, is a real blessing. I hope you're involved in our missions program. I hope the missions month was a special blessing for you. I look forward to it every year. I've already planned some things for next September. At the end of the month, we're going to have a doozy. Already got a plan. Got a plan. 3 days, 3 nights. We're going to have preaching 3 nights at the end of next September. Already lined up the evangelist. There's going to be singing, blessings, and we're going to have a gigantic youth rally at the end of September next year. Yep. Got it all planned. Talk to the guy down in Tennessee, Caleb Garraway, coming up next week. You know Caleb. His family's a blessing. Really is. And Caleb is excited to come and do this next year. But folks, we have a mission field. You have a mission field. I have a mission field. And Paul was saying, listen, let's do this together. Let somebody plant and somebody come along and water. That's what the mission field's all about. We plant. One person plants the seed, gives out a gospel tract. Gave this to a lady the other day. We were talking to at the hotel. We had problems with our hotel, but I gave her this gospel tract, and she was excited. Oh, I so much like that. And I said, well, read that. Paul said, read that. We need to give out tracts. We gave out a few on our trip. You go somewhere, give out a gospel tract. You all, everybody in this room, knows somebody that needs to come to church. Yes? Have you invited them lately? Some of you have. Thank God for that. Some have come. Praise God for that. Some of you haven't invited a soul in a long, long time. Shame on us for not doing that. Because we all know somebody that needs to go to church. We all know somebody that's lost and needs to be saved. We all know somebody that needs the Lord. Yes. Yes, we do. I'll help you out if you don't know. The mission field in verses 7 through 9 is so important that we look at and realize how important that is. And I think Paul was trying to cover that within this church, the Church of Corinth. He dealt with the milk-fed people. He dealt with the men followers. But he also dealt with the mission field and how important it was to realize that we're all going to get the same reward when we go to heaven someday. That's what he says in verse 8. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. When you give to our missions program here in this church, and I hope you are, I hope you're doing that, giving to the missions program. We give to the missions program. You give to the missions program. It all comes into our missions offering. It all goes into our missions bank account. And when we send out those checks to all of those missionaries, we give out special things to missionaries. we're all working together as one for that. It's not just me doing all the work or just Brennan or just a few here. We're all working at it together. It's a mission field that we're all trying to conquer together. Whatever it is, whatever you give. If you give $200 a week, praise God for that. That's a blessing. If you give $1 a week, you're still part of the one. You're no different than somebody that's given a lot. Some people can give more. They have the money, they have the income, they can do more. Praise God for that. But some can't. We understand that. But what we like, or what we'd like to see, is 100% participation. Doing something for the cause of Christ so we can all be counted, as Paul says, we're all one in this. The person that gets, the child, we have children to give to the missions fund. If they give 50 cents a week, praise God for that. They're part of the one. They're part of the same thing. Regardless of who else is given a large amount, they're all part of it. And that's a blessing that the children can be partakers in this same mission field of getting the gospel out. I'm running out of time, but let me give you the fourth one here. Write this down. The Master's Foundation. The Master's Foundation, verses 10 through 14. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I've underlined that in my Bible. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What you do in your life and what I do in my life is pretty much up to us. You're building a life. You're doing something for God, I hope. When it comes to the time in which we're going to receive our rewards, God's not going to look at me for your reward. God's not going to look at you for my reward. God is going to look directly at me, and I'm going to be held accountable for what I did as a Christian in my life. Yes, the pastor will be responsible for the church. But you will be held responsible for your own life. Don't think you can blame it on somebody else. I know we like to do that. Adam started it. Eve started it. We've been doing it ever since. But we'll all have our own reward. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There's a foundation that we need to be building our life on, and that foundation is the Lord's foundation, not man's foundation. Man has his foundation, and we'll look at that later. There's a man's foundation, and that's the last thing in the list. There's the Master's foundation. That's the building your life on Jesus Christ. And in the latter part of this chapter is man's foundation, verses 15 and following. What are you building your life on? The Master's foundation or man's foundation? The world's foundation, the secular foundation. Folks, listen, if it's not built on Jesus Christ, it'll crumble. It'll crumble. You need to make sure that you're building on the Master's foundation. We'll talk about that later, maybe tonight. We'll see. But folks, I hope and pray that this was a blessing to you. Listen, we need to get away from the milk. We need to grow up. Grow up. We need to stop being men followers, if we are, and I'm thankful in this church we're not men followers. We're not college followers. We're not certain men followers. Well, I follow Jack Hiles. I follow Peter Ruckman. I follow this one. I follow that one. Some of you don't even know these names, which is good. You're better off not knowing some of these guys. Follow Jesus Christ and Him only. There's a mission field that we need to be involved in together as one. One reward, verse 8. One labor. So important as we work together to support our missionaries and to do what God has us to do. And then there's the Master's Foundation. Follow Jesus Christ. You won't go wrong. You won't make a wrong turn. God can use you if you're following him. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us today. If there's anybody here today that's not truly born again, we pray that through this invitation, during this time, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to that heart.